Oh, and he got it away in a hurry. And Hart made a good save. Great opportunity for Richie. Centered it then again. They score! Richie finds Nylander, and Willie Nylander rifles home his second goal. And it's 2-0 Toronto.
Big Richie.
What?
You had to go digging in the archives to find that one.
I had to go with one that has Willie in it. This pod is 100% about Willie.
You mean you have other options?
The franchise player of the Maple Leafs, you mean?
The best. He's the best Swede in North America when he's in North America, and he's the best Swede when he's in Sweden. He's just the best.
He's the best, and he's looking for a contract.
Tim, what was the William Nylander buzz when you were in Europe? Does everyone just talk about William Nylander there?
Well, I feel like more people had William Nylander tattoos than not. Like, I just saw his face on some people's chests. And
oh,
like,
my.
88s all over the place.
A lot of bare-chested Europeans, you're saying, walking around?
That's the way they roll over there.
Interesting. So Maple Leafs are now, well, I don't know if they're now, but they will be heading back from Sweden now. They've wrapped up their vacation where they got to play two hockey games. Tim's now back from his vacation. Ryan and I are in a constant state of vacation because we don't really do much around here.
That's right.
But now it's time to lock in. Welcome back to the Leafs cast and welcome back, Tim. Good to have you back, buddy.
Good to be back. And not just because I listened to your guys' podcast from when I was away. Not bad. Not bad. I did appreciate the attempted use of stats in the pod. So, you know, a little bit of a stand-in, but not sure if it's quite enough for the real deal. So
well, we're gonna be coming to you a lot this pod, Tim. You got a lot to make up for after ditching us last week. So it's gonna be a lot of you talking today.
What's up with the?
That's what the people want.
Attempted use of stats. It's like Ryan and I tried, but what failed? Like
I heard. What you want me? I'm not in the business of calling out what mistakes on the podcast. I'll bring it up afterwards. What stats you got wrong? Just know that this episode's stats will be accurate.
All right.
So, Maple Leafs go to Sweden for the global series, play two games, two W's, and are a bit of a wagon since the last time we potted. Ryan and I, sans Tim. And I feel like the story of this week is William Nylander, where you go back to his home country, Michael Nylander in the building.
Well, seemingly in the building.
Yeah, everybody that he's related to or knows in the building. And speaking of his grandma, I mean, she looks like 7 years older than Willie. What's in the water over there? Like, what? Anyway, and yeah, I just wanted to talk about like obviously a phenomenal performance from Willie and the team as a whole, right? So they go over there, they play Ottawa, and then they play Ottawa played earlier in the week. They play the Red Wings, 3-2 victory with a come from behind victory, and then this morning, starting at the ripe hour of 7 a.m. Central Time, which I was up for, the Maple Leafs beat the Wild in overtime, and Willie the star of really both games, right?
He was just seen to be buzzing all over the ice. Like you for the same way that like when Matthews or Marner are on, when like they're red hot, that you notice them whenever they're out there. I mean, I feel that's almost the story of the season, but particularly these past couple of games, you notice when William Nylander is out there. Like he's on the pucks. He's taking dangerous shots. It's looking expensive.
I thought that it was like as equally important that, yes, I think everyone who watched that either of those games would say, yeah, Nylander was the hot ticket item of both of them. But what's equally as important is that both of his line mates also looked really good. Like Tavares looked really good in those games. And I thought that was the best Bertuzzi has looked all season in those games. And I think that Nylander is the one driving it, but I don't know. Like there's to some extent, it's, I mean, we see it with Austin Matthews when like you put guys up there like, you know, Joe Thornton when he was up there, when it's like he has no business being on a top line, but you put him with Matthews and Marner and anyone could look good in that position. And when Nylander's going like he is, you wonder how much of a trickle-down effect that has on his line mates. But I thought that they were creating and they were developing plays and they were keeping up, and the line as a whole looked very dangerous, which is very good because especially the Matthews-Marner line was going in the second game as well. So now for the first time all season, really, we have our top two lines are both rolling together. That's a lot for other teams to handle.
Yeah, I mean, we'll talk about the bottom six later in the episode. I'm sure we'll get to it, but certainly the top six, they've been great. And I do wonder if it's like this season in particular, Nylander's starting to get more of that respect, so that just pulls the players away from Tavares and Bertuzzi, which gives them a little more room to work, which is why they're that much more noticeable. Like, I know, like, for years, well, I say years, when Tavares and Nylander have been on the line, Tavares has kind of been the focus guy, the driver, like Willie's
the big gun.
The big gun. And Willie's been, I mean, not to take anything away from Willie, but there's been some games where he's been coasting. And you just notice it. And then if the other team shuts down Tavares, then that line kind of is lacking anything. But I guess I don't know what's the change that's happened, but it certainly has been working.
You're talking about what's the change for Willie?
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to pod today because we're pod on Sundays, but I wanted to pod today because it's 7 a.m. I'm drinking coffee while watching the Maple Leafs, which never happens, and I'm just having all of these epiphanies about William Nylander in the season, because I feel like we've almost done a disservice this season. Preach. Where I know it's been a big topic, and we've talked about it plenty, Willie's contract situation. But then I start to think, you know, like, he's here in Sweden, and we all expected he'd have a good week, but maybe not this good. Like, this is, to me, the best that he's played this season, just completely dominant on the ice. And he wants to score for grandma, as any of us would, right? But I was thinking, like, this guy, he's found a new level of motivation, and it's A, because he wants to, you know, be good, and, like he wants to help the team win. But I was thinking back to, like, the last time when he was in this situation for his contract extension, and it didn't go the way that he wanted to, and he sat out and he got squeezed, and he's making whatever it is, like $3 million less than Mitch Marner, and he was wanting the same money as him, right? And where now, like, I feel like he's had a light turn on, where, like, when he didn't get the same amount of money as Mitch Marner, it was justified, because at that time he was not at the same level of player as Mitch Marner was. And I feel like a light has turned on with Willie, where even though he constantly thinks he's the best player on the Maple Leafs, he's now just like deciding, I'm going to try to be the best player on the Maple Leafs here because I'm going to get paid $80 million if I do that. And that's where I think he's at. He found that motivation to be that guy. And is he going to continue being that guy in Toronto after this season? We don't know, but it's not looking that way.
I mean, like, on one hand, you hate thinking that these athletes are motivated by money. And I know we were all like not that happy with Nylander or Dubas back when he was sitting out, like how much he's sitting out for 3 months, like 100,000, 200,000. We don't know all the details, but at the same time, some players are motivated by money. We see like countless times players overperform in their contract year when there's literally tens of millions of dollars riding on the line. And I mean, If that's what it takes, then maybe we shouldn't re-sign Nylander. Once he secures the bag, he's going to go back to freeloading.
I wonder if, like, every game that passes that he's the best player on the Maple Leafs, you know, more in talks with even Austin Matthews than he is with Mitch Marner, it's only making it more warranted that he deserves something starting with a 10 instead of starting with a 9. And I wonder if it's getting to the point. For a while there, I was thinking, man, are we going to be able to afford Nylander? Like, he's just going to cost so much. I don't know if he could fit into the cap.
Yeah.
This week, I was honestly starting to think, not money-wise, but just talent-wise, are we going to be able to afford not to have William Nylander on our team? Like, we're right now, I think we're sitting, like, 10th in the league or something. Can you imagine how much worse we'd be without Nylander and his, like, $6.7 million cap hit? Like, there's no way that we would be anywhere near as competitive as we are right now. He's too good. Whatever. No, he's too good for us not to have him. But I'm starting to think, Tree, take out your pens. Give the guy whatever he wants. 8 years of William Nylander. I'll sign up for that.
Right. You're right. It's the exact thought I was having this morning, because, you know, you go to the halftime of any Leafs game, no matter what stream you're watching, right? I was watching the weird NHL Network Sweden stream with Kevin Weeks and somebody else, and you know, that's the first thing they go to. Oh, what's the number going to be? What's the number going to be? And I'm sitting there like, I honestly don't care what the number is, because if he's playing like this, he's a guy that you need to build your team around, right? And,
yes.
And where maybe all this time we've been thinking like, okay, can the Leafs fit Willie into the cap if, you know, when they keep all of these guys? But right now it's looking like there's maybe one or two guys on the team that are more important than Willie, and that's it. And then you have to be getting rid of other guys to keep him around. Assuming that this kind of stuff can, this kind of production can continue, right? Because like Tim said, is he just going to start mailing it in once he secures that bag?
But there's two sides of it. There's like, there's the numbers where if he was just putting up points and he doesn't look great out there, they're all coming on the power play, then that's not real. But like, his numbers are fantastic. He looks fantastic out there. Like every sign you look at says this guy is a superstar in the NHL. Like all this time, for years now, Nylander's been compared to Pasternak, and most of that's from his own saying, I want to get the Pasternak deal. I'm as good as him. And then all of a sudden Pasternak has this monster season and we're like, yeah, okay, Willie, like calm down. You're not as good as Pasternak. I was just looking at the point or the statistics before we signed on today. Pasternak has 11 goals and 16 assists. Nylander has 11 goals and 14 assists. Like he's two assists off with Pasternak, who's in conversations for the Hart Trophy this year. He's great. Sign the guy. Like he should have been signed 8 months ago, and it's ridiculous he wasn't then. And now we're gonna pay for it now, but it is what it is.
I would maybe 8 months ago is a little much. You have to sign Auston Matthews first, and then there's a trickle down effect.
They both should have been signed day one. They could have.
Well, that's probably a fair point, but. I mean, we were talking about Nylander at 8 years. It'll be interesting to say, like, oh, Matthews signed for what, 4 more years? Or was it 5 years? 4 years?
Maybe 4 years Nylander said, like,
maybe Leafs are going to be contenders for as long as Matthews around. Maybe he just signs 4 years and just keeps going with air. But the thing, what's interesting is that the cap is going up. So the fact that Nylander, like, I think the number is going to start with a 10. I think he's looking ahead at like what the cap growth is going to be, and that's going to be consideration. And I mean, the problem is that if he goes to free agency, he's easily getting 10. I think
at but least. Here, yeah,
here's the I issue: would we've say spent so. Like 13 minutes now. We're singing, raving the praise of William Nylander. How many games are we in this season? We are like
17 or 16.
Is that enough of a sample size to pay William Nylander $11 million by 8 years?
Sure, because it's not 16 games. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, this season he's dialed it up, but every year in the playoffs he's our best player. Every year. And last year he got 40 goals. Like, it's not – like, if he continuously gets 40 goals, which he's well expected to surpass that this year, but even if he has a slower back half of this year and he slows down to just do what he did last year – that's great. There's not too many 40 goal scorers in the NHL.
I guess what the question becomes is, with the rise in cap, what is the value? Like, for years it was, if you're over $10 million, only perennial Hart Trophy candidates get paid $10 million. And William Nylander, I don't think he's ever even gotten a Hart vote, let alone like consideration. Like, he's been good. He's been a good top six guy. It's not until this year that he's been in that even like consistent top line performer, like top three on the team. But maybe a 10, like there's more and more players getting paid $10 million. So maybe that is going to be the new standard, but I'm not ready to make William Nylander captain, though. He's been like arguably the team's MVP through 15 games. 15 games is not 15 years as far as handing out contracts.
I'm not sure what motivation either side would have right now to do the deal. I guess Willie, if Tree Living hands him the blank check, I guess that would be his motivation right now. But like, you know, they took the gamble to not sign him before the season starts and to see what would happen, right? And part of it was like, you know, say Willie came out this season, it was absolute dog water, then you feel a lot more comfortable potentially moving on from him, right? But I guess you could say that it's kind of the worst case scenario financially, that he's played so well and he's demanding that kind of money. So if you're Willie, the season's going really well. I don't know why you say let's end it here. What if I win the Hart? Can I get 12 in free agency or something like that, right? And then if you're the Leafs, right, it can't get much worse, right? Like in terms of dollars for us, So let's wait and see, right? Let's wait and see what happens. Not that I want him to cool off, but if he does cool off and the Leafs still decide they want to keep him, the number gets more manageable. And
I think the number's set at this point. I don't think it even matters. Unless if he becomes absolute stone cold brutal for the rest of the season. It's set. Either the Leafs will pay him or they won't.
I don't know. We've almost never seen this. Like, this kind of performance that he's been putting on to start the season, we've never seen this, right? So even though we have a large sample size of Willie, it's not this. This is big gun Willie. And I'm mentioning, big gun, from Iron Man 2. You guys are picking up on that, right? You know the scene, Iron Man 2, when...
It's the worst Marvel movie. Why are you referencing that one?
Because Rhodey's like, I'm the big gun. No, I'm the big gun. You know, who wants to be the big gun? Willie's the big gun. Somebody listening to this is picking up on this, and I'm going to replace you guys with them.
All right.
Just know that, I think I'm the big gun of the podcast, so...
What the interesting part to think about if you don't sign Willie is what else are you going to do with that $10 million of cap space, which you're not going to replace that with more offense than Willie's going to give you, I think. I don't think there's any way, even if it's two great $5 million players, or there's no one else better than Nylander who would be a free agent. So if you're going to say no, you know what, I know you're great, Willie, but you're not worth $10 million to us over the next 8 years, it's got to be defense that the Leafs would be looking at. And it's been interesting this week as Klingberg has been out with an apparent injury, either that or the Leafs are just tired of seeing him make horrible plays in front of us. But without his 4.7 whatever million dollar cap hit, and we have Benoit and Legason out there as our third pair, they've been fine, right? It hasn't been worse than it was when he was in the lineup. And you think, okay, so we can maybe move on from Klingberg and bring in some new defensemen who are actually good, because clearly we don't need Klingberg out here.
Yeah, I just pulled up the list of free agents this year. Steven Stamkos, free agent this year.
But we're not doing the Steven Stamkos free agency tour again, Tim. Next, please.
The guy's 35.
I remember everything about my thoughts of that, will Steven Stamkos sign in Toronto? Not again. Move on.
I remember where I was in 2016 on June 30th, when they announced he was re-signing. That was,
where were you?
I was at Canada's Wonderland. I was standing in line. And when I got in line, I think it was the Subban trade that broke first and then made it a little further through the line. And then the Stamkos signing, I think it was one other thing that happened. I was just mind blown as I don't even remember the ride.
I'm just imagining a sad Tim holding like a cotton candy or something that's drooping to the ground as he's just alone in the middle of the street, looking at his phone.
I'm on the roller coaster. They take the photo and I'm just like.
You have the phone out on the roller coaster. Give me a break.
Breaking the trade. Not a deep free agency pool this year.
Are you talking about for us to trade for midseason, Tim, or to sign in the offseason? What are you looking at?
If we have $10 million to spend on UFAs this past season, there's Tyson Barrie, there's Chris Tanev, we'll get to him. Nikita Zaitsev, Brent Seabrook. These guys are all not.
Zaitsev deal is finally ending?
Yep, this year.
So Tim says guys that the Leafs can sign, and he names two guys that used to play defense for the Leafs poorly.
You don't necessarily need another Morgan Riley on defense, though. You just got to bring in a few other number three and a number four. You know what I mean? And that would be good enough. TJ Brody's going to be a free agent next year. I don't even know if we want to bring him back or move on from him. Who knows what kind of money he's been. We're going to need new defensemen next year. I don't think Legason and Benoit are part of our long-term plan. Giordano is going to be gone next year for sure. He's definitely
currently
retiring.
Currently for the Leafs, we have Morgan Riley signed and Jake McCabe signed. That is the only defenseman.
Isn't Liljegren next year? This year or next year, isn't he?
Yeah.
That was the 2-year deal?
No, he's RFA. This year he's being paid 1.4. So he'll still be around, but he'll
need a
contract. So we'll get him done.
We spent all the last offseason talking about the Sandin and Liljegren deals. They were 2-year deals. Yeah, okay. See, that's why we keep Tim around.
That's why we keep Tim around.
Oh, okay, so you bring up Klingberg. Can we move on to Klingberg a little bit?
Let's move on to the... Is he still an elephant in the room? I feel like everyone knows and have been staring at Klingberg for a while.
So. Well, he's not in the room. That's the deal. So he obviously doesn't play in Sweden. I thought that was a big deal due to an injury, whether it's legit or not. I know, like, when the injury was first hit, everybody was immediately like, oh, he's getting sent off to Robida Island, because I'm not sure he's played for us for like four games. But I thought for sure once we went back to Sweden, Klingberg would be in there. I mean, he's a Swede.
Well, he is Swedish.
And it's a big deal for those guys, right? So, like, it would be a Babcock move to hold him out because he sucks, right, in Sweden. But I didn't think Keefe would do that. I thought he'd draw him. And he doesn't play. And they talk to Keefe about it, and Keefe is hinting more towards, like, it's a thing that has been nagging him for a while and could keep him out of the lineup a lot longer. So I don't expect to see him for a while.
Maybe, but he's not on long-term injured reserve. Like, you'd think that if it was this big thing, like, you put him there, you get $4 million. Like,
no, they can retroactively put him on long-term injury reserve. Like, they don't need the cap hit relief right now. They have Liljegren out. So, like, there's been no need to put him on long-term injury reserve. If it gets to the point where we want to call someone up or we get another injury or something, then you might see him go on there. I don't think the fact that he's not in there now means too much.
Well, it sounds to me like it's, you know, they held him out. They could have held him out for, like, poor performance or that, right? Because when he got taken out, it was a bad night, right? Yeah. My guess, if this is a legitimate injury, that it's one of those situations where it's like something that's been nagging him, and they have to decide: are you going to play through it and try to make it through the season, or are we doing surgery and you're going to be done, right? So that's my understanding, is like Keith hinting towards the fact that it's looking like it's going to be surgery and he's going to be done.
I would say that I've gotten that impression that this could be a he's out for the season thing. The two takeaways that I have of this whole Klingberg revelation is either two things. One, he actually is injured, and that's good because that would possibly explain why he sucked so much. And when he comes back, maybe he'll be good and he'll be worth something on our team and we'll enjoy having him back. That's option A. Option B is he's not actually injured, or either that or it's a very small injury that most players would play through, but he's not playing through because Keith acknowledges that he sucks and is using this as a cover-up. And this is Sheldon Keefe and Bradtree Living acknowledging, and we'll get to Ryan Reeves as well in a bit here, but acknowledging that these two acquisitions really have not worked out. They are quite bad and are adversely affecting our team, and we're better off without them. And have the guts to actually take them out and say, you know what, if you're not good for a team, you're not going to play. And we're going to give that opportunity to Robertson, and we're going to give the opportunity to Legason and Benoit, whoever it is that's technically replacing these guys.
Bobby McMahon, put some respect on Big Bobby's name.
You're right. It actually is Bobby McMahon that came in, not Robertson. But all respect. The same, I more lean towards that those guys were taken out because of poor performance, and I love it because we've seen it for too long. Guys like Wayne Simmonds just stays in the lineup even though he sucks. Joe Thornton played like all 82 games, even though he quite sucked by the end of it. There's lots of times where it's just like, you know what? You're the veteran. We paid you money to be here. We need you to play, and you can't take you out of the lineup. Well, these guys have sucked since coming here, and now they're out of the lineup.
Nah, I think it's more the first option. I think he does have an injury that, like, even the past couple years where his game has kind of fallen off the cliff, I wonder if it's partially due to this injury, though we haven't necessarily heard of it before. But, like, I think from seeing Klingberg out there, it's like, I think it's, he could, I don't know if he'll come back and be that much better. But I don't think that they're covering up scratching the vet for poor performance. I think he's getting old. How old
is he? You think
he's
had this injury for a couple of years? You don't think that the Leafs did any due diligence before signing him to an almost $5 million contract to look at his health report, whatever it's called?
It's a $4 million contract. I mean, the Leafs signed Matt Murray.
I mean, I don't know. Like I don't know what it could be. You think, like, it's always those weird things. Like, oh, yeah, they got to get, like, some bone shaved off their hip. Like, weird stuff like that. Because I don't know that there was a moment this season where, like, it looked like, oh, okay, Klingberg's been hurt. Now he's, like, limping through the game, right? I mean, can you, like, injure yourself by, like, wringing shots off somebody else's shin pads? Because that could have definitely done it, but otherwise, I'm not sure.
It looks like Klingberg's had some brain farts during the season because of a head injury.
Oh my gosh.
Nagging head injury.
Yeah. So you bring up Lagesson. I don't think Lagesson's been half bad at all. Benoit, but Timmins actually was looking like he was going to be back and playing today.
Yeah.
And then I guess he just didn't. I'm not sure what's going on there. So, like, you know, when, say, Klingberg was healthy enough to come back, right? Are you, and he's playing on the third pair. You're telling me that you don't think Timmins could give you a similar or better performance than that, and he's making so much less and just works out better for the team and isn't going to give you the same kind of defensive gaffes? And
Timmins would be great. I would take Timmins in this defense core in a heartbeat. But I think that we still need to add two more defensemen beyond Timmins. Because I don't want Lagesson in my playoff lineup. I don't want Benoit in my playoff lineup. And I don't want Giordano in our playoff lineup. Even though Giordano, I think, is actually playing great right now. Way better than I was expecting him to. Last year, by the end of the season, going into the playoffs, he was completely useless. And I don't know if that's just his old age or because he's just too slow once playoff hockey got here. But he was very, very ineffective come playoff time. And I don't want to have to rely on Giordano come playoffs this year.
So what? Go ahead, Tim.
I mean, I wouldn't say I do agree with you that Giordano fell off a cliff before the end of last season. I wonder if, like, I wouldn't mind seeing him in our playoff lineup this year. I do think he needs the Spezza treatment where he doesn't play every single game. The guy is, like, over 40 years old now.
Yeah, oldest skater in the league.
I would much rather have him as our available number seven. Because, like, listen, it's so hard for us as Leafs fans to not just think about round one. Like, if you're going to make it all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals, you're going to have to play, like, what, 25 games or almost 30 games, depending on how many game sevens you make it to actually win the Stanley Cup. You're probably going to have an injury to a defenseman over that time. Or either that, or someone's just going to get banged up like apparently Klingberg is right now and could just use not playing a few games. And if your number seven is Benoit, you're in trouble, right? So, like, get rid of Klingberg, get rid of these AHLers, Gio moves down to seven, bring in two Calgary guys.
Okay, well, no, go ahead and say their names, Rye. Say them. The names of the men.
Tanev and Zadorov.
Say their first names.
And Hanifin.
Say their first names.
Chris Tanev.
Nikita.
Nikita Hanifin? Who are you talking
about? I think it's Nokia. Fail.
Noah Hanifin.
Hanifin.
I don't know. Yeah.
You guys are destroying your credibility here.
Nokia Zadorov. It is interesting. So, yeah, we haven't talked about this on the pod since the last time, but the Leafs go, they play in Calgary, they get the shootout W. We can get to a point of that later. And post-game, Nikita Zadorov requests a trade out of Calgary and apparently says to the media or someone that he would welcome a trade to Toronto. And even before that, there's been whispers that the Leafs in Toronto will be looking at maybe making a deal for some of these defensemen because, Tim, am I wrong? Are they all UFAs after this season?
What's actually interesting is the Calgary cap friendly page is very similar to the Toronto one where they have Uyghur signed for a long time. He's the Morgan Riley equivalent. Then they have Rasmus Anderson signed for a few years. Everyone else is UFA. So, yep. Lots of turnover in Calgary next year on the back end.
Well, I think this year, getting the W on them helps because, even though I know we've been talking about trades since week one of the season because, like, it feels like they're just so obvious that they need to happen, it's hard to find a dance partner who's given up on their season before American Thanksgiving. But Calgary Flames might be the ones to do that. What do you guys think of the potential of bringing in one, two, definitely not three defensemen, Ryan? Settle down. What is this, NHL 24?
No, I said bring in two. I said bring in two defensemen.
Has that ever even happened? Three defensemen.
You look at another team and say, man, that team sucks. Let's take all of their players and say, wait, we have become the Calgary Flames.
Well, yeah, I'm wondering that a little bit. But I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
I mean, I like it. These guys are NHL defensemen. To me, it comes back to the cost. Like, I'm not giving up a first-round pick for these guys. I know on Sportsnet the other day, they were saying, oh, do you who'd you rather have, Chris Tanev or Zadorov? The thing is, like, Chris Tanev, we've been talking about Chris Tanev to Toronto for years.
So many
trade. I remember back when it was trade William Nylander for Chris Tanev, and then it never came together. The thing about Chris Tanev is he's a top four defenseman who plays three games a season. The guy is so injury prone. I'm not sure I'd trust him.
He is a top four defenseman, though. Like, he's exactly the kind, I mean, all of them kind of are, but he's exactly the kind of defenseman that we would want, right? Like, I mean, we brought in Klingberg for a reason, to try and get some more offense from our D. That didn't really work. Turns out what we really need is defense from our D. Who would have thought that? And Tanev is that. He's big. He's going to box guys out in front of the net. Steven, how many years have you been dying for someone on the Maple Leafs to box people out in front of our net? We need it. And Tanev is exactly the kind of defenseman that could do that when he is healthy.
Well, okay, if you want someone to box off the net, I mean, there's a guy on the same team who's bigger and more Russian than Chris Tanev, and that's Nikita Zadorov. And if I was going to have one of them, I would pick that. But why don't you guys give me your thoughts maybe before I settle down this room here on this trade?
The problem with Zadorov is he's like, I feel like on most teams he would play on the bottom pair. On our team, he would probably play on like the middle pair, just because we're not as good. But he gets paid too much for like what he actually is. Like, isn't he like 3.8 or something, or almost 4? That's just like, you might as well just get Tanev.
Brendan Pridham will make the money work.
No, but it's just like, for what you get, for like what they are based, what their cap hit is, I think you're getting better bang for your buck on Tanev than you are on Zadorov.
But think about the dollars per game that you're going to be paying.
They only need to be healthy for 25 games in May or whatever.
In the playoffs. Yeah. The playoffs is rough.
Can I settle this down a little bit? Or do you guys have more?
Yes, Steven, please.
Wafting?
If I had to place a vote, I would rather we get Zadorov than Tanev. But
Tanev. Now, what do you want, Steven?
Who are you going to agree with?
Neither. I'm going to speak to you two bozos and every Maple Leafs fan listening to the podcast. This trade's not happening. There will not be a trade for 1, 2, or 3 defensemen, or 4. Go all the way from the Calgary Flames to the Toronto Maple Leafs. You got a bevy of reasons here. Again, number one, it's not even American Thanksgiving yet. Calgary Flames are not completely giving up on their season. Reason number two, financially, this makes absolutely zero sense. The Maple Leafs have like $52,000 of salary cap space right now, and they can barely hold extra forwards. And you got 2, maybe 3 deadbeat contracts that you got to figure out how to get rid of just to make that deal work. You're talking about, you don't want to give up a first round pick for these defensemen. You're going to have to give up a first round pick to get rid of this Reeves contract to even just make it happen. So I don't think it's happening.
Reeves you send to the minors, and some some like intangibles team that's struggling will like pick him up, or he'll just rot in the Marlies or whatever. He'll be fine.
And reason,
you need to find a taker for the Klingberg contract and someone who says, you know, our power play's been struggling. Like Detroit. He can send him to Detroit.
Reason number three. If we're trading for a guy who's expecting to play in our top four, I don't think that that's needed on this team. When healthy, you have Morgan Ryan. Morgan Rielly, TJ Brody, Jake McCabe, and Timothy Liljegren. if you're Sheldon Keefe, can you not make that work?
Who's your third pair though? That's an abysmal AHL third pair. Top four are
Gio and Zadorov and Timmins.
You're bringing in someone.
I'm talking about just the top four. Sure, if the Maple Leafs closer to the deadline want to bring in somebody else who can replace Gio in the lineup, and Timmins is down there or Lagesson's down there, I think when I look at the team, I think they need more offense than trying to make just giving up on this defense core already. It's a good group defensively when John Klingberg's not playing 24 minutes a night, and I think Sheldon Keefe needs to be able to make that work. So this trade's not happening.
We have Austin Matthews, who's going to win the Rocket. We have William Nylander, who's going to win the Art Ross and the Hart and the Ted Lindsay. And the Ted Lindsay's the coach. Is that... Anyway.
That's Jack Adams.
And you're saying that... Oh, you're right. And you're saying that we need to not bring in defense when we've like set records this year for how many consecutive home games we've let in 4 goals a game. We need more offense.
It's been a banged up group. You're forgetting that Jake McCabe wasn't even playing like 10 games of the season. We haven't seen Liljegren in the month of November. The group is banged up right now. Timmins hasn't been able to come in. Like, it's not a full group. There's AHL guys in the lineup because we need AHL guys right now.
I want to be 7 defensemen deep because we're going to be banged up in the playoffs.
Okay, so you
25
trade...
games we're going to have to play to win the cup.
All right, so now you've traded your first-round pick. John Klingberg has now been sent to Arizona, right?
Yes.
All right, so you trade, whatever, Easton Cowan for Chris Tanev, and you put him in the top six. Who are you taking out of the top – you put him in the top four. Who are you taking out?
Either McCabe or Liljegren. Either of them would be an exceptional third pair defenseman. Like, we'd have an above average decor if that's the case. You look at Vegas, who just won the cup last year. Look at their defense. They're huge.
They are huge.
They win games. Like, you need to have something more balanced. I don't want, maybe we could talk about Patrick Kane if we want to in our next segment. Like, that's not what we need. We don't need to bring in more goal scoring and more offensive play. We need to stop players from scoring on us. The slot is wide open. I just watched the Minnesota game like 4 hours ago delayed. I'm sorry, Steven, I didn't have the heart to wake up at 7 a.m with you to watch it this morning.
8 a.m for you, you baby.
This is Minnesota Wild we're talking about here, who like have one player who could score goals in their entire team, and they were just taking free shots from the most dangerous area of the ice. We are not good defensively. We're getting bailed out by like Samsonov and Wall, who are probably at best league average goaltenders. It's not enough.
It has been rough. I know, like we talked about, goaltending maybe isn't as much of a story now. I do agree with Ryan in that I do think another defenseman would be helpful, one that's definitely NHL caliber ahead of... I mean, it seems that the forwards have it more figured out than they were at the start of the year. I would like to remind Ryan that for the past like 8 playoff years in a row, we've not scored enough goals, so we can never have enough forwards.
You're not wrong.
I was thinking about this too. You trade for 1, 2, 3 Calgary defensemen. Let's say you trade for 2 of them. You're going to have 4 players on your Maple Leafs defense that played for the Calgary Flames in the last like 5 years, because Gio was the captain of them for like a decade, and TJ Brody was playing for them.
Didn't Calgary win the West in one of those 5 years? Like, they were pretty good when all those players were on their team. So
good.
You can calm down there, Steven. All right, we just spent like 30 minutes talking about the defense. I don't think we've ever spent a pod talking this long about the defense in the entire history of the Leafs, guys.
Now,
well done,
20
guys.
Minutes were spent on like William Nylander worship. So we're going to talk about the bottom six at all?
Who's going to be happy that we spent 20 minutes talking about defense on this podcast that listens to it? Just Tim. That's the only person that's really pumped about it.
I'm excited.
All right, Tim, bottom six. What do you think?
I don't think since I've been here, I don't think Nick Robertson's been in the lineup. So that's been a great, I mean, finally, like I think last time we were here, he was just tearing up the minors. And we were just like, bring this guy in. And they brought him in. And he's like, I love the energy he brings. And he stayed healthy. How many games is he up to now? I don't even know.
It's amazing how good that line looks. The line of Robertson, Domi, and Yarncrook. Domi still doesn't have a goal, Steven. I'm sorry, but
we'll get into that in a minute.
Unless you count his shootout winner there, which is pretty exceptional talent.
I do not.
Within the net.
But just like before then, when it was Camp centering that line, you didn't notice that line doing anything. Like, they just kind of be out there. You'd be completely forgettable. Sometimes it'd be in the opposing team's end where it would kind of stay around the outside, and sometimes it'd be in our end where you're just praying the Camp could get it out because there's no way Domi was going to do anything defensively. But now you see that line and it's making plays and it's making things happen. It's getting the puck up the ice. It's actually not as horrible defensively as I was expecting it to be. And Robertson's potting in some goals. Like, it's amazing how just one little tweak like that of putting Domi in center, it's just opening up a whole new possibility of what the third line could look like. All of a sudden, we have 3 lines that look like they could score. I said look like, Steven. I know you're still angry at Domi.
Well, you're saying like, oh, do you count the goal? the league office does not count that goal as a goal. When his name is etched on the Lord Stanley's Cup at the end of this season as a member of the Maple Leafs, that goal won't count for his stats.
You're correct. You're right.
Hey, it got an extra point in the standings, that puck going across the line. So.
It's coming in. It's brewing. You know, you bring up Max Domi. It does make me just think about it a little bit.
And now, Mustache Talk on the Leafs Cast.
Oh, boy.
What's changed between Max Domi and myself physically since he started playing well?
You have a caterpillar on your lip.
Little dirt on the upper lip. Do you guys notice that? Hasn't resulted in a goal yet, but it's coming.
Ooh, is that hope, Steven? Is that optimism?
And that was Mustache Talk on the Leafs Cast.
Oh, just a quick
one. The day after he shaves it off.
Wait, what'd you say?
The day after he shaves it off, he's going to score.
I mean, I do time up my mustache growth with Maple Leafs players doing it. Like Austin Matthews getting a mustache. I had one. That time when Willie had one, I had one. Oh, man. What's his name? That super handsome guy in the fourth, Colin Blackwell. Anyway, okay, I'm getting distracted.
I feel like for a while with Max Domi, it was this guy still hasn't scored. And it doesn't look like he ever will score because he's not generating anything. He's not getting to the dangerous areas of the ice. Now that he still has not scored 17 games in, which is getting to be ridiculous, but it feels like close now, right? Like it feels like that line has the ability to score and he just needs one to go in off of his back or his face or something just so he can get the monkey off his back and then he'll start pouring him in, I think.
Hope so. I mean, it has been looked better. And I mean, how many games have Ryan Reeves missed now?
Not enough.
I think like five.
No, I think it was four. I think it was just the Calgary, Vancouver, and the two Swedish games that he hasn't been there.
It's remarkable. I mean, I feel like our overreactions early on where I said he was a good addition to the team, I feel that.
Rough take.
But I feel like the Ryan Reeves of the first two games or whatever it was, is this different from the ones we've seen in the 10 games since then where, like, not only does he not do anything, but it's like he doesn't inspire any physicality and the Leafs fall away. And it's just like, it's actually remarkable. Like, looking at some of the stats, like Klingberg on the ice and Reeves on the ice, the Leafs just get absolutely caved in. Like,
yeah,
it's and nothing happens. So it's like, kudos to Keith for actually, like, pulling out. Like, I did agree with you guys last time. Like, it's not a good look of where all of Brad Treliving's additions all like aren't working out, but it's like, what do you do with, like, do you blame the coach for the additions not working out? Is it, at the end of the last pod, I thought Sheldon Keefe's days were numbered. So maybe the Sweden road trip with a couple of wins have turned the tides and Domi kind of fitting in a little more, but
well,
I don't know about Ryan Reeves.
Well, and then, you know, part of why you thought maybe this Reeves addition would be good was for the Revo effect, which we felt like was not happening before he leaves the lineup. And then he gets pulled out of the lineup and the Leafs are having 1 to 2 fights a night, right? You got so Gio, true. Old man Gio, I think he's like 42 and he's, you know, pumping someone full of their teeth. So,
and Domi out there as well, throwing fists.
Yeah. As far as like the team being good, like him being, he hasn't been missed whatsoever. I don't know what you're going to do about that situation financially, but I don't see a reason to bring him back anytime soon. Bobby McMahon's been good. He's doing Bobby McMahon things. Another kind of guy maybe made of glass. And it is funny because, like, even before when he was gone, like, you could see Noah Gregor, he can ball. I know we're playing with a puck, but he can ball. He can do his thing.
I thought he's gotten better as the season's gone along. Like, for the first bunch of games, I thought he was kind of fast. He's very fast. But I think that's all you really saw. He'd like zip up the ice and then like that'd be all you see from Gregor. Now, and I don't know, maybe it's because he's playing with McMahon now for the last four games and in that line with Kampf as well. They're zipping and they're finding their own end. And like I've liked both McMahon and Gregor. I think that they're effective fourth liners for this team. You can put them out there. They're actually going out there when we're like protecting a lead. Yeah. Reeves did not touch the ice for the entire third period in any game ever, unless if we were up by like 5 goals. If we needed goals, he wasn't out the ice. If we needed to protect the lead, he wasn't out on the ice. That's not the case anymore. It's amazing what having good players on your team lets you do.
I mean, it's amazing what having good young players is. Like I love how these guys are kind of stepping up into the lineup. Like, we haven't talked about Matthew Nyes, but he continues to fit in, play well. It's like, we have a future. If Austin Matthews walks the end of his next contract, or Marner or Willie, any of those guys leaves, it's going to be rough, but it's not going to be... I mean, looking at the Calgary team, it's like, there are teams out there with no hope. We're not that.
We got hope.
I wonder if I can pull the audio of like Ryan saying that he would trade Matthew Nyes for Ryan O'Reilly at the deadline last year. I think he did say that.
I did say that. I loved... Listen, we got him anyway, but...
Yeah.
At the start of this... The last podcast we did, I think we were one game into the Matthew Nyes in the top line experiment, and that has worked out tremendously. It almost makes you wonder if he can contend for the Calder, right? You think about it, you know.
Well...
He can contend
for second place for the Calder. Let's say that. I think first place for the Calder is all wrapped up there.
What do you mean wrapped up? It's just going to go to Betsy. Didn't McDavid didn't win the Calder his season?
Who won the Calder?
Checking in on the Calder. Matthew Nyes, 9 points. Connor Bedard, 14 points. So he's a little ways to catch up there.
You know, but 50%. Matthew Nyes
He's only had a couple of games on the top line. I'm saying that like it's working out really well. He fits in. He had a nice goal. Was it today? I don't know. When the games are at 7 a.m., I can't keep up. But he's balling as well. And I don't know. It's got to be fun being Matthew Nyes.
Yep.
You skip the AHL entirely. Nicky Robb is just fuming at him. He skips the AHL entirely. He gets to go straight to the top line playing against a fellow. Where is Austin Matthews? Arizonian. I can't remember.
Down south.
Imagine you put Matthew Nyes on that fourth line with Nicky Bobby Robbie. They'd be balling out too. Everybody's balling. Except for the Raps.
What do you guys think about Samsonov and Wall? A goaltending duo.
I mean, I don't love that those guys are going to be our playoff goalies. Like, I think for years we've had the worst, like, we've never had the better goalie in a series except for the one series that we won, which is good. I don't, like, going forward to this year, I'm not sure if we'll have the best goalie in the series in anyone, like, Boston, once again, at the top. Bobrovsky and Zuccheri in Florida. Maybe if we meet Detroit or Ottawa in the playoffs, then we'll have the best goalie in the series. But
I think
I don't know how to fix it.
I think like, one is still better than the other, right? We saw them both, and they give Sammy the first game and Walt this morning. Let's say tonight. Jeez, what a mistake this schedule is. And
Samsonov's looked a lot better, though. Like, there was a while there where it was like, yeah, Samsonov is just off this year, and it's Wall's crease. It just looks like a tandem to me now. Like, that's a couple games in a row now that Samsonov's played, and he's looked real good, making some big saves, not making any costly errors. And I think that moving forward, you just roll with them. Like, we just saw Wall give Samsonov the next game. Give Wall the next game. And just, like... roll them both. I'm kind of agree with you, Tim. I don't think either of them are going to be our strength down the stretch in the playoffs for a 25-game run, which we're definitely going on now. 25 games exactly, by the way. I've cast my prediction.
And we pod every night.
That's right.
Don't forget.
But I think it's going to be good enough if we bring in two defensemen to shore up our decor.
I hate this podcast. I said I wanted to pod tonight and talk about Willie Nylander. I didn't want to pod with you two. I would have had a nice time just me and the listeners.
You had a taste of getting rid of Tim. You want to get rid of me too now? You're just going a solo show?
I think you could use a European vacation. Check out all these... Never mind. Never mind. That's it. That's all I have for you today.
All right.
I can't think of anything else more important. It's been a good week as a Leafs fan. Last pod was like a little bit negative and doom and gloom. And it's funny because we ended and I was like, oh, we were just like, you know, roasting all the new additions and like you know, are we being too harsh? And then every single other person in Leafs media was talking about the exact same thing after last week. So we're not crazy, but.
Well, this upcoming week, we are going to face Bedard again. Our
Bedsy,
Calder,
baby.
Calder favorite. So he's playing, we're playing Pittsburgh, Kyle Dubas's team.
First time, right? This season?
Yeah, that's right. And those are the only two games. We got a long break again because they're coming back from Sweden. So no games until Friday. Friday,
back to back.
Yeah.
Wait, is next Friday's game at 2 p.m.?
No. Oh, yeah, it is. You're right. What?
Do you know why?
What is up with the matchmakers? What?
You don't know why? You don't know?
Is it something about a mustache? Oh,
is this because of the Black Friday game?
Yes. Because it's the day after American Thanksgiving. And so the Blackhawks are getting primetime schedule, I guess. There you go.
All right.
That's the reason why. Get used to these weird scheduled games. The F1 race started at 1 a.m. for you guys last night or something.
That's right.
I mean, everything's different now. Nobody sleeps anymore.
I just want to say one of the things. So Steve, you said it was like, oh, it was a good week to be a Leaf fan. It was like very close to not being a good week. Like, we went to the last round of the shootout against Calgary, beat Vancouver, which is good, but then like had to have a comeback win against being two goals down against Detroit, and then another blown lead end up being win last night.
Or here we are saying finally we're talking about something good, and Tim's like, shut up, you guys. It was very close to being bad.
It was close to being bad. Like I'm still not convinced that this team has fully turned the corner and that they've reached like their full potential.
Do you think we're like two defensemen short?
I think we're one big 6'6" bottom defenseman short of being reaching.
All right.
What's his name again? What's the phone company? I can't remember.
Nikita.
Oh, I thought it was Nokia.
Probably not.
All right.
Keeping you guys honest.
We'll see how many Leafs acquisitions we make this week. I think two.
Settle down. This trade's not happening. Go back to what you were doing before this podcast started. It's not happening.
Trade! Trade!